When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of the week, and we are going global with some strange news. Of course, ever since we started this weekly segment, things have only become stranger, curiouser, and curiouser. This week, let's see, we're going to Utah. We're going to we're going a little international with an ongoing debacle related to Brazil, and we are going on social media as well. But maybe we start with a PSA, a little bit of a stuff they don't want you to know, Steve Brule style, for your health.
Got some sweet berry wine.
Check it out. Cool. So, well, first of all, if your flight was delayed this morning, apologies, everyone, globally.
Was it you? Did you do that?
No. Oh, FAA has some warnings ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the FAA's notice to air missions system. And it went out and it caused massive delays globally. That's the thing that, you know, lets pilots fly and land safely, do all the things that they need to do. So
there was whispers of like, maybe it was an attack and maybe wasn't. I think it wasn't, right? It was just like a good old fashioned outage or internal screw up.
Well, it's something that's on people's minds, right? Because electronic attacks, especially on legacy systems, are only going to become increasingly common. We had some folks write in, particularly Eli, shout out to you, asking whether or not this was a Russian attack. And if so, would Uncle Sam say anything about it? Honestly, if there's hard proof, someone probably would have said something, right? That's the nature of the context now. But we are looking at a possible nationwide air grounding, which is very, very rare.
Well, it was grounded for a bit this morning as we record this on Wednesday, January 11th. Yeah, but it could occur again if that particular system is targeted, let's say. But we don't have enough information yet because it just happened, and I don't even know if anybody would be out there yelling about it yet. You know, they're like, well, we need to investigate. And then it would be, oh yeah, it was definitely Iraq again. We need to go back. No, I'm just joking. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Iraq famously hate planes.
Right. Right. But this is the real PSA for today. If you were on one of those flights, maybe recently, and you ended up landing, and then sometime later that week after you arrived wherever you live, and you had a respiratory infection, and you were like, oh, okay, let's test for COVID. Oh, wait, it's not COVID. Let's test for flu. Oh, it's not flu. Let's test. What else can we test for? What could it be? Well, there might be something that you're dealing with depending on where you visited within the United States. And it's a weird thing. It's something that I was unaware of until I really started looking into this. But it could be a fungal infection within your lungs. Mm-hmm. It's not likely. Look, we're not going to be the WebMD of podcasts here and make you think any little cough you got is a fungal infection. But
WebMD, it's cancer.
Exactly.
That's their tagline. Yeah.
But this is just a kind of a warning, I guess, to everybody. It's a possibility, and it's a type of infection that, at least according to a couple of recent, I guess their stories, more like announcements, it's an infection that may go misdiagnosed or undiagnosed for a while. So the first thing you need to know is that if you are experiencing one of these infections, it's the kind of thing that you've got a persistent cough and it just goes on and on and on. It won't go away. And we're not talking about for a week. We're talking about for weeks, maybe even months. That's when you probably would realize, oh, there's something else going on here. And that's when you should at least think about talking to your doctor or shaman or whoever you use for medical purposes. Talk to that person about a fungal infection. Hopefully a doctor. Okay, so let's jump into this story. The title is Fungi or Fungi that cause serious lung infections are now found throughout the U.S. Doctors should be on the lookout for the organisms, researchers say. It's coming to us from Science News, who touts that they are independent journalism since 1921. This is speaking about three specific types of fungus that can cause infection within the human lung. Not that exciting, but the big deal here is that the fungi that exists within the soil in certain regions of the United States, for some of them, we're talking about just the southeastern United States, so kind of the coast of California going down into Texas. What's the handle of Texas called? The little peninsula thing?
Oh, Panhandle? God. No, that's Florida.
It's not Florida.
Yeah, it's Florida. Maybe it's
the
both.
Gulf
I don't know.
Coast?
The tip of
third
Texas.
Coast in hip-hop.
There you go. Goes on down to the third coast. And in that area, in the soil, at least along that coastal region there, there's this thing that's a lot of fun to say, you guys. Here we go. We're all going to learn this together. All right. It's coccidioides. Coccidioides. Yes. It's a type of fungi that can be infectious for the lungs of a human. It's in the soil. So if you're out there working on the soil and you're not covering your face, you're not protecting yourself the way, many of us do now to protect ourselves against COVID or whatever other respiratory disease, you can get this stuff in your lungs and it can be a horrible experience. It is not always deadly, but it can be deadly because it can spread to the point where it, there's no real operation there. There are ways to treat these kinds of infections, but they aren't, it's not like you can just take regular antibiotics and get rid of this stuff.
So these are like airborne spores essentially, or?
Yeah, that's the way they get into your lungs, right? The spores are released as you're working soil. Think about it that way, as those particles are being released, it goes into your lungs, then it just starts to, what do they call it? I watched a couple of really dry medical videos on YouTube that are meant educate, students who are actually learning this stuff, and then they're going to take tests and then diagnose people. You can see slides of this type of fungus and how it creates these really interesting spherules that have a bunch of these tiny little, they're not the spores, but they're sporocytes. I think that's how you'd say it. They're inside that thing. And then they burst open with more of these things and they create the spherules. They burst open and you just see how the infection spreads and super creepy stuff. And it can really wreak havoc on your lungs.
It's kind of like, it's the same mechanism for delivery as in the game series of The Last of Us. You'll see the actual spores floating around and you know that you're in a bad area when you see the little guys kind of like floating around like dandelion dust.
And if, if you're in an area where you with human eyes can literally see spores of any sort, folks, GTFO.
Yes.
Get out, to quote Jordan Peele. But Matt, I have a question here too. Is part of the problem here that a lot of the initial symptoms could be so easily confused with other more familiar things, right?
Especially like the common in a time.
Cold, flu.
Yeah.
100%. Absolutely. Was watching a video earlier on a woman who experienced histoplasmosis, I think is how you would say it. It's histoplasma, which is common in the dirt. If you imagine a map of the United States and you kind of look at Ohio, and then kind of make a big circle in the center of the United States there and kind of move it down again towards Texas and out towards like DC, New York and in that area, that whole area, the soil there has the potential to carry histoplasma. It's often found in dirt that has constant bird droppings within it and or bat droppings. Look, kind of gross, but like if you got this person in particular, I watched a video on, she bought property that used to be a turkey farm and it was just within the soil. And as she got some work done on her house and her back garden, and that's how she ended up getting it.
We also know that bird and bat droppings are used as fertilizer in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be really fertile soil. So that would not be uncommon, you know, for that stuff to be mixed in, you know, with agriculturally tilled soil.
Mm-hmm. And within that video, she states her symptoms that she experienced for several months. Okay. So not just for a little bit. And they were very similar, as you said, Ben, to other upper respiratory infections. A cough that wouldn't go away, pretty constant headache, low grade fever. So not like 102 or something, but we're talking 99, around maybe 100, constant fatigue, wheezing, and shortness of breath. And I don't know about you guys, but that sounds an awful lot like symptoms of COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I'm almost not positive anymore, guys. I get it once every January. We're going to just keep doing this.
Well,
I
that's
think.
Just going to be the new way, it seems. But I mean, what I was getting at earlier, too, and I think, Ben, you had a similar perspective, is at a time now where it's like anything remotely resembling COVID is going to be, the suspicion will be that it's COVID first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in this, what is it, like a triumvirate kind of pandemic right now, or a tridemic or whatever, where the RSV is a thing that is much more common now. And it has very similar symptoms to COVID. So let's just throw in a weird fungus in there in the mix. And this is like some Dr. House MD type stuff to even discover this was what was going on. I want to know more about, you know, the detective work that went into figuring this out.
Agreed. That's like the plot twist in the third act of a House episode. You know, he curmudgeonly tells someone that you don't have to worry about the flu. Oh, no, you're sick, but you're sick with the fungus.
Yes.
And we've talked in the past about how amazing fungus is as a life form. It's one of the most successful and most likely candidates for extraterrestrial life if you go beyond microbes and bacteria. And it's easy to forget, you know, how amazing this stuff is at getting into places, including the human body. And with that, you know, Noel, I think you asked one of the million-dollar questions here, which is, yeah, how did they find it? Because looking at some of the excellent sources you point us to here, Matt, these things were known entities. These are not surprising new life forms, but there's been some kind of sea change or paradigm shift that helps medical experts redefine the problem and the territory, frankly, if we're speaking of it as a living thing.
Well, yeah. So here's the major problem. If you're going to diagnose this, often you have to take a look at somebody's cells, like get a sample and actually look at it and see them. You have to see those spherules, or I was talking about the, you have to identify the fungi. Oh, that was fun. And often medical professionals, by the way, if you are a medical professional, I'm completely wrong here, please call me out. Or if you have better information, please call in or write to us. But my understanding is that there were distribution maps that were generated in the 1950s. There's one in particular that I think points to 1955, when there was a pretty large scale study, and maps were drawn to show the distribution of the soils containing these fungi. And so if you are a medical professional, like a GP, who's constantly seeing people in, let's say, in Georgia, you may not even think about looking for these types of fungi within a patient's respiratory system because you don't exist within the areas where that fungi should exist within the soil, right?
They're not in range.
Or at least you wouldn't do it unless it was a special case. You wouldn't immediately check for it. And the problem now is that those older distribution maps don't properly represent where the soil exists, where the infections are occurring at a higher rate. And the other problem is that science is unsure whether or not those distribution maps, the newer ones that show, in this case, histoplasmosis cases as being all across the board where humans live in great quantities, is that because people are traveling to areas where histoplasmosis is more likely and then coming back home and then they have it there and that's where the case is identified? Let's say traveling from Ohio to Alabama is when that person gets back to Alabama and they get a case, is it known by the medical professional if that person picked it up in Ohio? There's lots of questions here, basically. But the headline is that these cases are happening across the board now within the United States of multiple different fungal infections.
And I love that you're outlining some of the questions we have to use to look at this. The travel thing makes a lot of sense. You mentioned at the top that there are three big types of fungus, right? Mm-hmm. Types of fungal infections that are being reconsidered in terms of infection. In at least one case, it looks like we can trace human-to-human infection for blastomycosis. Because if you look at the updated maps, you see that the rates tend to be around heavily populated areas of the U.S., but then fungi are incredibly diverse. So one explanation probably doesn't apply to every single case. Was it always this way and people just have better diagnostic tools now? I mean, are the answers there? Is there a way to prevent infection? I think that's what a lot of people are wondering, right?
Yeah, and it's something we're kind of used to now. And I'm sad to say this, guys. If you're working outside in soil that has this stuff in it or may have this stuff in it, then you wear a mask, a surgical mask, one of those respiratory masks that we're all now used to wearing. Not all of us. I'm still not used to it.
You're not used to it? I love it. I think a lot of people look better with 2/3 of their face covered up. That's what makes me pro mask. Actually, I think I look way better with a mask on. I'm like, I got so spoiled by not having to see strangers' mouths. You know what I mean?
No, but no.
Well, you got a pretty mouth. You gotta cover that thing up.
Just the whole point is it could be a problem if you are experiencing a longer than usual period where you're going through this cough you just can't get rid of. It's something to think about because it could be, you know, 1,000 other things. It could be you're developing asthma at a later stage in your life, which is a possibility. I have family members that have gone through that. There's all kinds of things that could be going on. That's why we always say consult with a doctor, somebody who not only watched those videos that I just went through today, but did it for years of their life and then sat through, I don't even know how many years of a professor at the front of a room describing these things and looking through slides. Go talk to one of those people. They're pretty cool. And just make sure they are armed with all the information about you. Like, where did you travel? How long have you been experiencing it? Just be open with them. And hopefully, if you've got one of these infections, you can get rid of it. Lickety split. Oh, and last thing, Noel, you already kind of spoiled this a little bit, but I'm not mad at you because you were right on with it. As this episode comes out, last night, the first episode of The Last of Us premiered on HBO. And
is it good?
I'm telling you right now, as a time traveler, I just got done watching it, and I'm super excited about it.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, video game adaptations typically aren't the best, but this is the guy that did Chernobyl. Craig Mazin, a really, really talented creator and showrunner. So I have
working alongside
hopes.
The game creators.
Right. So, which is, this is definitely one of those games that's like, plot heavily plot driven. So I'm interested to see if they change some things up to make it kind of a little more interesting to folks who've played all the games. I hope they do, but very excited about that.
I think they spend some time in the pre-infection world. But like, as you said, no spoilers. I think we all love the game. And don't be the last of us to tune into the show.
So. Yay! Sorry. Hey, yay. Guess what? Here are some ads. This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. This is a story that we're gonna paint it as a bit of a mystery, which it technically still is. And then we're going to go with a likely answer. But fellow conspiracy realist, we want to hear your thoughts. Now, a lot of our fellow listeners have hit us up on Facebook. Here's where it gets crazy. On Instagram, on Twitter, to ask us about something that's been in the news. You see, for a little while now, for a number of years, these strange antenna rigs have been popping up in Utah, in kind of inhospitable areas close to Salt Lake City, but not the kind of place where you would just take a walk for fun. And before we start out with this, Matt, Noel, have you all visited Utah?
Yeah, on a quick layover when a flight was canceled or something. And I think I've mentioned before, flying into Salt Lake City or over that part of the country, remarkable to behold. It really looks like another planet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
I have flown. Right, yeah. I have flown over it.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why people in the U.S. sometimes call that part of the world flyover country.
Yeah. All those liberal elitists in their bubbles ignoring the flyovers. Just kidding.
These coastal elites.
Yeah, that's the word, the coastal elites. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is a real thing. Coastal elites are a thing.
Oh,
100%. We've had to deal with them on the show before. But in Utah, which is, as you guys said, a beautiful, picturesque landscape, you'll see that there are some cultural aspects that are relatively unique in comparison to the other 49 states of the U.S. Utah is the seat, the headquarters of the Church of Latter-day Saints, or Jesus Christ Church of Latter-day Saints, commonly called the Mormons by people outside of that belief system. And sometimes that becomes a stereotype for Utah. And if you ever visit the area, you will definitely see the cultural stamp of that belief system. And it's not, you know, it's not necessarily bad or anything. It's not like you have to dress a certain way when you are at the Salt Lake City airport or anything like that. But people have historically kept Utah kind of a world apart, you know? And interestingly enough, too, going back to the idea of fungal infection, Matt, at least one of those fungal infection maps shows that Utah is one of the places that doesn't have a particular fungal infection. Wheels within wheels. So let's say you're in Salt Lake City. Let's say you're in Old Brown. Your flight got delayed. And you say, I'm going to go explore outside. And you go around outside, maybe you rent a car, maybe go on a hike. You're out in some of those beautiful mountains. And then you see a pretty serious antenna attached to what looks to be a solar panel, all rigged up to a black box of electronics.
What's that about, I say to myself?
Yeah, what's that about, you say to yourself? For a while, people have been wondering the same thing. And the news really picked up in January. We saw a couple of different really enticing but unsupported pieces of speculation. You know, fans of Red Dawn might say, is this a way for spies to communicate? Are these, you know, mini number stations? Which would be cool, but they're not.
Because they're just bolted to the ground, right? Or like to the earth.
Right. And unlike a electricity substation, they're not protected by a chain link fence or anything.
They don't have a chain link fence system to prevent nothing from not happening.
A tiny little shin high chain link fence.
Yeah.
They're also not authorized, right? They're using solar panels, which they're typically in the U.S., you're going to have some sort of legal process you have to get involved with, right, to have alternative energy like that. I mean, let's not forget that there are laws in different parts of this country that don't allow people to collect rainwater. So these solar panels are kind of guerrilla style. They're off the grid. And people are still trying to figure out who built these and why. The number station thing, by the way, we couldn't find, that didn't seem to hold any sand or solar power in this case. But we do have a little bit of an answer, and it's an answer that ties into some stuff. It ties into things we wouldn't expect. Something we've been talking about a lot on the show recently, crypto.
What if
these antenna and their accoutrements are tied in some way to a cryptocurrency?
Like they're mining or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like, yeah.
But mining is processing power, right?
Well, right. But those things, they exist in they can't exist in mobile units like that. Like I heard a story in NPR about the first house sold with a crypto mining station built in. And it had to do with a currency that involved like these drone things that were kind of like all spaced throughout a certain area and they could communicate with one another and then relay the, it was specifically mining a particular type of coin that I'm now forgetting that was sort of spearheaded by the guy that was selling the house and doing the NPR, you know, the subject of the NPR piece. But I do distinctly remember that this was sort of a new thing where every time somebody uses something, it mines a little bit of quiz. Is it sort of like that, Ben? I'm really not doing a good job of describing it, but that's sort of really rung my bell when you said that.
You nailed it. You nailed it. This appears to be a result of something called Helium, Helium
that was
network.
It.
Is that it?
You yeah, nailed it. 100%. Yeah,
yeah,
it really was.
Doc,
it was,
can we get a
it was
ding ding? Yeah, perfect. Well done, man. Yeah. The Helium network was started in 2013. And the idea is you build a bunch of hotspots that you can deploy throughout a region. And then you will be able to make, you know, it's like step one, set up your hotspot, set up your nodes. Step two, Step three, profit. Classic internet. Helium got in trouble back in July of 2022, because they had made some claims about their customers that appear to be not entirely above board. Notably, they said they were working with corporate giants like Salesforce or Lime, and neither company was able to confirm that relationship. There's a great Vice article that came out on January 6th this year by Matthew Galt. Mysterious antenna are appearing in Utah's hills, and officials are stumped. And this, in here, this guy's doing some great journalism and notes that people first started clocking these antenna about a year ago, right? And they're relatively simple machines, and the Public Lands Department of Salt Lake City has been pulling them down every time they find them, but someone keeps putting them back up. It's like Toynbee tiles, right? And that they're pulling them down, not because they're like mean people, like that villain in Footloose who is just mad about folks dancing. It's because it's illegal to build structures on public land without permission. And again, these things are like up in the mountains sometimes. They're not something you would happen across. And they said that they didn't have the resources or the staffing to look into what was happening and remove everything. There's one quote from a guy named Tyler Fonerau, who is the manager of trails at Salt Lake City. And in this Vice article, Tyler says they found these antennas with no distinguishing marks. They were bolted in, this rig was bolted into the stone of the mountain, and you needed special tools, right, to remove it. And he said the following, quote, "We honestly didn't even open the box. We just wanted it off the hill."
Yeah.
He's like, "I got to do my job. Come on."
Ugh, as if crypto bros could be more annoying. Let's just start cluttering up God's majesty with little Wi-Fi bots. I did find the article that I was referencing from NPR. It was this dude named... let's see, Massey. He's like a realtor and a crypto enthusiast who, you know, made a big thing about selling this first house with crypto miner built in. And just to describe how the Helium works, essentially, it says the computer is that box in the closet. It takes the house's Wi-Fi signal and shares it through an antenna to be picked up by all kinds of little smart devices within a few miles range of the house. Things like internet-enabled dog trackers or electric scooters or water sensors for flooding, all the stuff that makes up what people call the Internet of Things. In return for that work of sharing signal, the little computer earns some Helium, a cryptocurrency that you can exchange for real dollars. So it'll make a couple bucks a day by sharing your Wi-Fi with close range items.
Yeah, it looks like this is where we kind of solve the mystery. Without official confirmation, it looks like these antenna rigs are functioning as repeaters for a wireless network, and you can earn Helium coins by maintaining that network. And I wanted to keep this short so we can just say, here's a neat mystery that is not about the end of the world that is probably solved. So is it a conspiracy? Yes. Someone's trying to conspire to make a buck through crypto. Is it bad? Not necessarily. It's not someone planning a war or being a water thief. I think we can end this one a little bit early and get to our final story in Brazil and Florida. in just a moment. I think we end on this, you guys. Let's go back to Tyler. I'm loving this guy's vibe in his interviews. He sums it up this way, talking about the antenna, which are 99% definitely associated with helium, right? But not officially confirmed. Tyler says the following. As long as it's not dangerous, we don't really care. We just want people to stop doing it so we can get back to taking care of our lands. He's like, I maintain trails. Stop making me the antenna guy.
Right.
I don't want to tear down your stuff. You worked on it. You know what I mean? It's like being the person who has to say, okay, let's take down the Christmas tree.
But also stop bolting it to my beautiful mountains and cluttering up my trail with that. You know?
And he adds, look, if someone wanted to put an antenna in the exact same place for a scientific purpose, we'd probably allow it. He's going, look, guys, I'm cool. I'm not the bad guy here. But you don't have to be mysterious. Just check in.
I would venture that there's never been a bad guy named Tyler. I just want to put that out there.
Tyler.
Don't think it's possible.
Tyler.
Durden.
Not a bad guy.
Unclear. A little bit flawed. No spoilers, man. Come on.
Okay.
For the film Fight Club.
His time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we don't always have to agree on everything. That's why we're friends. Speaking about checking in, we're going to check in for a word from our sponsors, and we will return with one more piece of strange news.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we've returned with a story. of the people, by the people, and for the people. And by that, I mean that on multiple levels, but I really mean it's a story that all three of us really brought. This is something that we've all been paying attention to, and that has a lot of correlation with a lot of things going on in our country. Happy Insurrection Day to you as well, Ben. Yeah, exactly. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about an event not in our country that very closely parallels, dare we say mirrors, what happened 2 years ago today, essentially a insurrection, dare we say an attempted coup on our soil in the United States. And, you know, call that hyperbole if you wish. I personally don't think it is. And I also think that history will not report it as such. I think it was very much a dangerous culmination of a lot of things. The radicalization of individuals here in this country, brought on in large part by social media and by the ability to spread misinformation, disinformation, with no checks or balances. And we are now seeing that happening in other countries. And this event we're talking about in Brazil is very much the result of a lot of that as well, in addition to a lot of really hyped up rhetoric around kind of othering individuals who maybe are seen as less desirable in a particular country or within a system, population, what have you, and those in power that would seek to further that type of rhetoric, whether it be through their own speeches, the kinds of things they themselves post on social media, and just sort of spreading a usually self-serving idea of what is right, what is fair, you know, who deserves to win. Oftentimes it will go against the face of what we know to be free and clear elections or whatever it might be, or pre-existing laws. And it's very dangerous. It can really push what would be seen as a law-abiding or lawful country into a state of lawlessness. Usually the people that push it that way kind of tuck tail and run when the time comes to own up to what they've done, or, you know, to tell people to go home and be nice and stop, you know, trying to overturn governments because you think I want you to. Who are we talking about? We're talking about a guy by the name Jair Bolsonaro, the recently defeated president of Brazil. He was defeated in a democratic election by a candidate by the name of Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who is, you know, more of a left wing candidate as far as that country's, you know, sense of left wing and right wing go. Bolsonaro has often been compared to Donald Trump in terms of his rhetoric, his policy, and just his personality. Very prone to self-aggrandizing bluster and potentially dangerous rhetoric, and not necessarily beholden super hardcore to the truth. And he got his people stirred up, much like we saw with the January 6th, 2021 attempt or march on the U.S. Capitol, and how Trump said, you know, I'll be with you, go march to the Capitol and all that. But this one was a little different because it happened several months after the election, as opposed to in an effort to overturn the election. So a little unclear as to what the goal was here, but it used similar rhetoric in terms like stop the steal and a lot of concern over the idea of rigged ballots and manipulating election results and all of that, which resulted in a lot of organization through apps like Telegram, I believe, which mm-hmm. is like encrypted, you know, end-to-end communication that's often used for lots of illegal activities, from drug dealing to perhaps even, you know, terrorist type conversations to organizing, you know, where you don't want to be spied on. And that is exactly what happened. We already know that there were blockades on October 30th after Bolsonaro was defeated, blocked major highways across Brazil. And then those eventually turned into these kind of stolen election demonstrations. But let's stop there. Did you guys have anything else to add just about how the event itself mirrors what we saw over here? And then we can kind of get into the social media aspect of it, not to mention what has happened with Bolsonaro himself.
I'll just give you my only understanding. I haven't been keeping up on this as much as you guys, but my understanding was that the latest actions took place almost immediately after the inauguration of the new, the incoming person.
Was it on Inauguration Day, though?
Returning president, because remember, Lula was president in the past.
Yeah,
in the
exactly. past,
right, but not in the previous term. Now, my understanding was that, I mean, there's a really great article that's sort of the primary reporting on a lot of this is on the Washington Post by Elizabeth Doskin, D-W-O-S-K-I-N. And according to her reporting, the inauguration took place last week, as we sit here on January 11th, with very little incident. It wasn't until several weeks later that the online calls for rising up and violence and all of that began to really take hold. And then we've seen the riots taking place just a couple of days ago over the weekend on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a larger context to this too. I'm really glad we're talking about this because what we're seeing is something that has been predicted not by the people you would expect for a number of years, the rise of right-wing authoritarian governments using a lot of hidden hand type of money. Like, I love that you're pointing out the funding question, Noel, about keeping stuff off the grid, not raising too many flags while we get these people on these buses. Let's also remember there was an attempted coup in Germany. Let's talk about Peru, right? Let's talk about DC. And when I say not the folks you might expect predicting this sort of stuff for years, they were people that would generally, there were people on what you would consider the far left, but there were also people on the very far pro-fascist right who were predicting this, and they were doing it as fanboys. So it's a very strange thing for them to be correct about. So I think there's a larger mechanism at play. It's bigger than one country, and I don't know what the trend is. I mean, depending on how it works out, like how is Brazil handling this the same way that the U.S. was? What are they saying? I think former President Donald Trump was in the United States for the entirety of the January 6th events.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
What about this guy?
Well, he took off.
Okay.
Yeah, he took off to Florida, and I'm frankly surprised that he wasn't reported, you know, having dinner at Mar-a-Lago with, like, you know, Kanye West and Milo Yiannopoulos or something. But he was hanging out with an MMA fighter or a former MMA fighter.
Jose Aldo?
Yeah, that's right. Correct. Jose Aldo. In his home, he put him up, Bolsonaro. And Ben, you're the first person I saw posting about this. Of just like videos of Bolsonaro just listlessly wandering around Publix, which is kind of a Southern thing, I guess I realized. Like, Publix is kind of a Florida thing. I recently had my first Pub Sub yesterday, Publix Sub. Very, very high quality
sandwich.
They're
not bad, huh? They're pretty good.
But I don't think Bolsonaro had a Pub Sub because he was also seen dressed in the same clothes, just ravenously gnawing on some KFC.
Right, just like, housing it.
Yeah, housing it for sure. And there were a couple other sightings, you know. But the thing that I thought was most interesting with that the internet kind of took and ran with is that in the home of a former UFC, rather, not MMA, UFC fighter Jose Aldo, one of the bedrooms is like entirely Minions themed. We can neither confirm nor deny that Bolsonaro slept in that room. It's you know, hard to not imagine that.
It's weird, too, because, you know, a lot of people, depending on the things that you support or oppose, you may already have a preformed opinion about Bolsonaro. And I have been anti that guy for a minute, just to be honest, and this is just my opinion, because I didn't care for his stance on the Amazon rainforest. Politics aside,
logging, yeah. Basically, yeah, turning, yeah.
Politics aside, human civilization needs the Amazon to be a thing just for ventilation.
Yeah.
You forget biodiversity. To breathe,
it's
necessary.
And they, you know, obviously, a ton of it is right there, you know, in Brazil. And he was very much trying to do away with any protections on it in the interest of, you know, developing it for use, for commercial use, whether it be for resources or who knows how far it could have gone. Also, very much an anti or vaccine skeptic. Quite a bit of a race baiter, you know, really had some nasty compunctions as a politician. But much like we saw here with, you know, this divisive election and previous elections. The idea that perhaps social media almost glommed onto this algorithm, these algorithms that govern these various social media platforms, like Twitter specifically, Facebook, big one, you know, and others. Now we've got TikTok, which is, you know, more focused at the kids, but that these algorithms tend to steer people towards rather than away from radicalizing sources. For example, in Brazil, where, you know, Elon Musk recently came out, you know, full support of Brazilian democracy and said this is a horrible thing, but also, you know, stripped Brazil's Twitter wing of all the content moderators that could have potentially prevented these kinds of things from happening. So talking out of both sides of his mouth there a little bit, because when you would type in things like ballot or election, it would like autocomplete to rigged ballot and stolen election. So again, you know, it's a chicken or the egg question, right? Like, as we know how like Google instant results, they're ranked, I guess one would think, based on the frequency of people searching for things. So if something's searched for enough, then the algorithm thinks that's right, or that's like, you know, what people want to be searching for. So you can't necessarily say they're doing this on purpose, but they're certainly not preventing it from happening.
True. And then it becomes the argument of whether social media discourse is a privately owned club that allows members, or whether it is a public good. And the answer to that question
is both.
it always changes depending on what is most convenient for the owners of those platforms. I also want to say, just to get in front of some of the emails we're going to get, I also want to say that folks, please don't get it twisted. We are also very well aware of the numerous accusations of corruption in the previous Lula administration. This is not some shining messiah on a hill by any means.
I think we've always been pretty clear that, I mean, while certain candidates or politicians may be more divisive publicly, it's all kind of all the same puppet show. You know what I mean? I don't really think you're getting radical change in one direction or the other, depending on who's sitting in that seat.
Are you talking about the band One Direction?
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
But speaking of bands, I don't know, we could definitely, you know, take this in a number of directions, you mentioned that the idea of this type of thing has been predicted. You know, whether it's this specifically in Brazil, what's happened here in America, or just in general, it has been. But here's a good take from someone you might not expect, from 1986, from an episode of Crossfire on a debate on censorship. The musician and thinker and just absolute kind of, you know, Renaissance man, Frank Zappa, had this to say. The biggest threat to America today in 1986 is not communism. It's moving America towards a fascist theocracy. And everything that's happened during the Reagan administration is steering us right down that pipe. I really think that when you have a government that prefers a certain moral code derived from a certain religion, and that moral code turns into legislation to suit one certain religious point of view, and if that code happens to be very, very right wing, almost toward Attila the Hun.
Well,
I'm just saying, I think that's a pretty interesting take. And Zappa was a divisive figure in and of himself. But
sure.
I mean, he did have some really interesting predictions about the music business, about, you know, the nature of recording and creativity. And this one, I think, kind of nails it.
Guys, I hear you, but I really can't get Jared Carmichael's joke about Scientology out of my head. Did you guys hear about that?
I do love him. I love his.
Put it in everybody's head.
Ray Daniel is.
No, I'm not going to repeat his joke. I refuse to do it. It was at It was at the Golden Globes, and he had several Golden Globes in his hands. He said they were from a certain actor who is a high ranking member within Scientology.
Oh God!
Oh, which one isn't? You're talking about Mr. C.
Yeah,
I just heard that he returned them.
Well, yeah, he did. He returned them, but then
because of the controversy with the Hollywood Foreign Press. Yeah,
yes. But Jared's joke was about, well, maybe we can, you know, basically pawn these and use that money to find out where Shelley Miscavige is. Basically, it was a joke about finding a person that yes. might actually
potentially
be in trouble.
Murdered person
yeah. who law enforcement says is quote fine, she's fine, stop asking, they're fine,
look over there,
end quote. Right. Okay. I gotta be honest, I'm so unplugged from the Golden Globes and the concept of celebrity.
Oh, I heard one NPR piece covering it and saw a few pictures, but I did see that image and references to Shelley Miscavige jokes. That's all I know.
I heard my, on a positive note, I heard my folks from Everything Everywhere All at Once got some shine. Oh, yeah. So, well deserved, right?
People say the Golden Globes are like a precursor to the Oscars, but they've really been mired in, bullshit because of some allegations, and justifiably so, of racism by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association because of zero members of color and Gerard Carmichael literally said, I'm here today because I'm black. It's very interesting. They would even allow that kind of commentary on their own organization to take place, but they kind of have to, they got to take their lumps.
You know, this is good news because, Matt, when you started to set this up, I was worried that you were going to again say, I'm not telling you why I have to go to Brazil, which is, we don't want to pry. But hope you had a good. No, he's not in his head. Not going to let that joke fly.
I don't have anything going on right now. No travel.
Okay. So, Scientology. We should do an update on that, especially on the Miscavige situation, because it is strange, is it not?
Well, because they can't find David either right now. There's several people right. trying to serve him, and they're unable to do
Subpoenas, it. Subpoenas. Yeah. And also, Masterson just had a mistrial mm-hmm. in those sexual assault cases, right? Okay. So this is a good teaser for us.
Well,
folks.
I just want to ask the most important yeah. question that no one's talking about. Where is Ja Rule? Where is Ja?
I need someone to make sense of
he
this.
He would have something to say about all this.
Where is Ja? And with that, that's a perfect ender. With that, we are going to call it a day, a sunrise or a sunset, depending on your schedule of torpor. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. What's going on in Utah? What's your take on fungal infections? And perhaps most importantly, let us know what you think about the story you were bringing, Noel, regarding Bolsonaro traveling outside of his own country amid what could only be a coup attempt.
He's also not well. Bolsonaro is notoriously a bit sickly, and mm-hmm. apparently that KFC didn't do him any favors. So they are saying he's probably going to be returning back to Brazil mm-hmm. sooner than later to get medical treatment.
Right. He was hospitalized, right, for right. abdominal pain. So we want to hear your take on all things global and local. Also, a special shout out to a friend of the show and all hip hop fans, Stickman of Dead Prez, who recently experienced some catastrophic flooding.
Oh, really?
But is doing well from what we can tell. So pop on over, show your support for prescient smart music, and shout out to Frank Zappa. That's beautiful that we got a Zappa shout out today. Noel, I think that quote is prescient as well. And maybe we can hear more from our fellow conspiracy realists. You're shaking your earbuds right now, and you're saying, I got thoughts. How do I reach you? We don't know.
Oh, well, there's a myriad of ways to do that thing. Reach us. You can find us on the internet, where we are Conspiracy Stuff on numerous platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Conspiracy Stuff is what we are on Instagram. Lots of fun stuff popping off there on the regular.
If you don't like social media, just climb a mountain, about 2,000 feet will do, and just stick down one of them helium things, you'll see it, it's got an mm-hmm. antenna, and just wait around there for a while, a couple months, you'll make $5, and at that point, we will call you back. No, just kidding. You can call our number. It's 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, you've got 3 minutes, give yourself a cool nickname, and, say whatever you want. You got to do it in 3 minutes. If you got more to say than can fit in that 3 minutes, instead, shoot us an email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.